Good morning, everyone. Renewed recession worries are weighing down markets in Asia and Europe, and Wall Street appears poised for a marginally down open when markets open in a few hours. World markets, yes, are not likely to give this new president much time to reflect on how to deal with the financial crisis.
Let us remember that if this financial crisis taught us anything, it's that we cannot have a thriving Wall Street while Main Street suffers. In this country, we rise or fall as one nation, as one people.
But how to rise economically in the first days of the Barack Obama administration? Jared Bernstein is the director of the Living Standards Program. Jared Bernstein, is director of Living Standards Program at the Economic Policy Institute, one of the many think tanks and institutes getting ready to advise this new president around the Washington, D.C. area. He joins us from his home in Northern Virginia. Jared, how to stimulate the economy without simply giving money to the same old people, same old institutions, and, ending up with kind of a drop in the bucket?
Well, that's a good way to frame the question. And one interesting and somewhat new idea, at least in terms of stimulus, is investment in public infrastructure. Obviously, we've been building roads and bridges forever, but that tends to come in these long five-year transportation bills that take a long time to get into the system. One idea we're pursuing this time is shovel-ready projects that are either on the ground or ready to go but are starved for capital, and they can start creating needed public investment, productivity-enhancing stuff, while creating good jobs. So that's kind of a newish idea.
Now, so far, we don't have unemployment numbers, reaching draconian levels, at least on the levels of the New Deal. How many jobs do you think need to be created? And, of course, there are many forecasts that suggest, many, many more jobs are going to be lost over the next year. So as a forward-thinking proposition, how many jobs do you think we're going to need?
Well, it's interesting. I mean, you actually need somewhere in the neighborhood of 130,000 jobs every month to keep the unemployment rate just from going up. That's because there's people joining the labor force every month as the population expands. Now, of course, we've been losing jobs at a rate kind of like that per month. So we need to create twice as many jobs as usual, both to absorb new people coming in and to reemploy the folks who've lost their jobs or been laid off. At this point, one out of nine people is either unemployed or underemployed. That is, they're working fewer hours than they'd like.
All right, let's try to nail it into a kind of policy briefing statement then. If you're talking about a policy which would give us 200 or more thousand jobs per month, what would that look like in terms of financial commitment, and where would that money go? You already mentioned shovel-ready projects, but where would that money go?
Well, two things. First of all, that's too ambitious. I mean, a stimulus program isn't necessarily intended, in large part because it really would be too demanding on our resources, to get, say, the economy back to its trend GDP growth of, 3% per year or something. It's intended to offset the losses that we're looking at, to get us back closer to zero, get the private sector engine turning over again. The other idea is state fiscal relief is really important right now, and it's another one of these big bang for the buck things. I kind of agree with your earlier intimation that sending checks to folks helps in the short term, and it did help, but that's behind us now. States are really strapped, squeezed. They're raising taxes, they're cutting services, exactly the kind of things you don't want to see them doing in a downturn. It exacerbates the negative trend.
So how do you reverse that, and how do you do that quickly?
That's actually something we can do very quickly. We can send federal dollars to the states through it's only how far down in the weeds we want to go, but there are these formulas. One's called FMAP. It's the Medicaid formula. Medicaid is a federal state share. We can ratchet up that formula. Literally, this takes one or two administrative workers in the government to check a different box, something like that, and we end up sending as much as $50 billion more to the states to help them offset budget deficits that are in the $50 to $100 billion range. And remember, states have to balance their budgets. That means they have to either cut services, raise taxes, dip into rainy day funds to offset these losses.
All right, Jared, let's talk about the track record of those kinds of programs. You're suggesting if we send money directly into the budget that the states would have discretion on how to spend it, and your assumption would be that it would go to job creation. But what about about programs like revenue sharing, model cities, programs from the 1970s, which were all about this sort of intergovernmental investment that was targeted? Did that work?
Yeah, I think that those problems worked. They weren't necessarily framed as stimulus. Those projects took a longer time to get the water to the fire, but they did create jobs. In terms of the states, really what you're looking for is for them not to lay people off. So you don't necessarily add jobs, but you do keep unemployment from rising. And that's absolutely helpful.
Well, Jared, we're asking all of our guests this in the next couple of days, since we're preparing kind of a briefing book for Barack Obama and sort of talking about what the new president needs to hear. Will the Barack Obama administration return your calls?
Well, I was an economic advisor to Obama, so I mean.
All right, so you're in good shape.
Well, I talk to the folks on the economics team. I don't talk to the high-ranking political
folks
who are making the calls right now.
We're just taking a gauge of everybody that we talk to. Jared Bernstein, director of the Living Standards Program at the Economic Policy Institute, on the line from Northern Virginia. Thanks, Jared.
My pleasure.
On Notes from America, we have conversations with people across the country about how we can truly become the nation that we claim to be. Each week, we talk about race, our politics, education, relationships, usually all of them, because everything's connected. And you, our listeners, are at the center of those conversations. I'm Kai Wright. Join me on Notes from America, wherever you get your podcasts.